Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of a city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
When he actually saw Finding Dory, we saw it yesterday. It's fun. It's a really fun movie. And there's a lot of spiritual truths. Now, we don't sanction all of these movies and agree with everything in them, but we take natural things and take spiritual truths out of them, just like Jesus did. He used illustrations. He did things in the natural and explained it with supernatural things. So at the movies, Finding Dory, really, really cute. If you know me at all, I'm known to fall asleep at movies. Anybody fall asleep at movies? Especially if you go to Cinetopia. Anybody ever been to Cinetopia up in the mall? And they got one up on, a couple in Vancouver, one over on the west side. And the reason why you fall asleep at Cinetopia is because the chairs are like major comfortable. And if you sit up high, they have like footstools and they serve you food and drinks. And then you're all done. Round things you lay on, you feel like you're like a pharaoh of Egypt, you know. And these big round couches, and it's really cool. So it's very difficult to stay awake during a movie because it's very, very comfortable. But it's fun to go to see the movies. And but they don't really make it easy to stay up. And then if you're a real movie buff, you know that if the movie starts at 10:45, like it says 10:45, you got 15 extra minutes to get there. Because there's always 15 to 20 minutes of previews and trailers before that. So we're always like pushing it to the last second. We're like, quick, previews, don't worry about it, we'll make it. Interesting dynamic, right? So last night we went to see Finding Dory, and there's many topics we can teach on with this movie. Really, really fun. But let's first just watch this. Are you ready?
Hello. Did you hear that?
What was that? Hear what?
Stan, I heard someone say hello.
Yeah, there's a lot of fish here. Anybody, literally anybody could have just said hello.
Hello.
There.
Where am I looking?
There.
Oh.
Hi, I'm Dory.
Yeah, well, where are your parents?
My family.
Where did you see them last?
I forgot. I was looking for something and I... Okay, totally get it. Date night.
I suffer from short-term memory loss. It runs in my family. At least I think it does. Where are they?
Dory, there you are!
Guys!
Look out!
Ah!
Oh, look at this.
Our friend got taken into whatever this place is.
It's a fish hospital.
I feel fantastic!
Listen!
Dude.
Name's Hank.
I have to find my family.
That's a hard one, kid.
Well, I guess you're stuck here.
You're not helping, Dale.
I lost my family.
That is so sad. You weren't...
Not a great swimmer.
Our friend is in there, lost, alone.
Bailey, you've got to use your echolocation.
Ooh, I feel stupid.
Poor baby. Let me get that for you. Woo!
Mom! Dad!
She should just pick two and let's go.
Dad.
What? I'm kidding.
I get the feeling they're shushing us for a reason.
Like something with one big eye, tentacles, and a snappy thing?
Well, that's very specific, but something like that.
Somewhere out there is my family. I can't find them on my own.
Hang on, Dory!
Surf's up, kid!
Incoming!
I don't want to be touched. Sorry.
That's okay. Everybody does it. Nothing to be ashamed of.
Trust Becky.
You trust Becky. Becky's eating a cup.
Just keep swimming. Mom! Dad!
Does this mean we have to say goodbye to Dory?
I don't know why I thought I could do this.
Dory, you are about to find your parents. And when you do that, you'll be...
home.
Sea lions. They are natural predators. They could pounce at any moment.
My...
Who are you?
Don't you worry about a thing.
You know, there's so many things that you could teach on with this movie. You could teach on friendship. You could teach on living a positive, faith-filled life. But I really believe the main focus of the movie is the search for parents. Looking for the perfect family. You know, it was like if she, Dory, can find her parents, her life will be perfect. Or when she finds her parents. And, you know, many of us live with this when and then thinking. When I find this, when I can attain this, when I enter into this relationship, find the perfect mate, when I reach this goal, my life will be perfect. Finding the perfect job or finding the perfect mate, finding, you know, having the perfect body. And sure, it's all great and good to strive for goals. I love goals. But it's amazing that once you reach certain goals, there's always room to grow. There's always room to expand. And that's really how God made us. God made us to continue to have a vision for our lives. Because without a vision, we give up living. Without a vision, we stop moving forward. And God loves to continue to speak to us by his Spirit and let us in on the vision and the plan that he has for our life. He does that little by little, not to overwhelm us. Because if we ever began to think how God thinks about us and what God sees in our lives, we would be in awe. Because he has so much for us. An incredible future. So the question this morning is this: how do you enjoy the real family that God has given you? Three things this morning that we want to talk about and teach on. Number one is this. This is a big one, especially for Christians. Admit that no family is perfect, including mine. If you think about it, all the families in the Bible were not perfect, but God still used them. The first family, Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. I mean, they were walking with God in an amazing garden, amazing atmosphere, where God visited them daily and walked with them. Wow, seems like the perfect setting. Yet they disobeyed God and they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They traded eternal things for consumable things. And we can focus so much on consumable things. We've got to eat every day. Isn't it interesting that you can never get out of the grocery store without spending at least $100? Anybody notice that? It's like every single time went, got another $100. When you only intended really to go in there and spend 25, right? How did this add up so quickly? But then their kids were completely off the rocker. You know, one brother kills the other brother. Definitely not the perfect family. If you think about Abraham, chosen to be the start of a new nation. He walks by faith from the city he lives in, goes on the road with a big caravan of his staff and his family without God specifically telling him where to go. By faith, he's hearing the voice of God, gets in a little bit of trouble with some of the other countries and kingdoms that he has to pass through. And he passes his wife off, Sarah, as his sister to save his life. He lies. God then promises him a son, tells Abraham that his descendants are going to be greater than the stars in the sky and greater than the sand on the shore. And they're getting old in age, and they take God's plan into their own hands. So he gives Sarah his servant Hagar, and they have a son, Ishmael. That did not turn out very well, because eventually God did give them their son Isaac, and they kicked Ishmael out. Take Jacob and Esau, for example. One fighting the other for the birthright. They become estranged and separated for years before they came back together again. Take Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. 10 of them sell Joseph into slavery. This family is really infected with jealousy and favoritism. Talk about dysfunctional. These are all biblical families, but if you think about it, these are all families that God used to do great things despite their inadequacies and their sin. Think about David. David's called a man after God's own heart. David and his son Absalom, they went to war with each other. Jesus' very family, his parents, Mary and Joseph, take him, Jesus, as a little boy to the temple and leave him behind. You get arrested for that these days. Are you out there? This is not good parenting, folks. Even Jesus' brothers didn't believe he was the Son of God. It was not the perfect family. So what do? You know what we need to do? We just need to drop the act. There is no perfect family. People ask, how you doing? How's your family doing in our culture? What do we say? Good. Fine. We're always quick to say good. Not being perfect is actually normal. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. So you know what? Admitting it is the first step. What happens is it gives us a measure of relief. To start by not denying the things we as families need to work on. There's always room to grow. We're not the perfect parents. I'm sure you're not the perfect parents. We haven't made all the perfect decisions. We haven't completely controlled our anger at times. But thank God for his blood and his forgiveness. Maybe what we really need is to purchase this family survival kit.
Are you sick and tired of your family? Do holiday get-togethers seem unbearable? Then you need the Family Survival Kit. New from the makers of Date Beyond and Rent-A-Kid, it's the Family Survival Kit, filled with tons of family-neutralizing goodness. Like the criticism-canceling headphones. Harsh words go in, but compliments come out.
Why can't you be more like your sister? She's always been here when...
I am so proud. You are perfect just the way you are. I love you.
Creeped out by over-affectionate aunts? Not anymore with Family Off, specially formulated to repel unwanted affection. Now, how much would you pay? Never be asked for money again with the mooch whistle. It sends out a high-pitched sound that only mooches can hear. They'll be too confused to ask for anything. Undisciplined children are no problem at all with sleepy time brat darts. Just lift, aim, and blow for a whole 24 hours of brat-free living. But wait, there's more. Unsure of what to say to emotionally unavailable family members? Then let an expert say it for you with Dr. Phil in a Can.
Are you avoiding reality? Do you resent your children? Do you realize that this is a big problem? You can't change what you don't acknowledge.
Thanks, Dr. Phil. If all else fails, use our patented nuclear family love grenade. Just pull the pin, toss it in, and let nitrous oxide put the fun back in dysfunction. So call this number and get your family survival kit today. Just three easy payments of $19.95. Order today and get the tongue cozy absolutely free. I can't taste a thing. So order yours today. Supplies limited. Price subject to change. Web grenade not limited. Utah, Hawaii, California. Not responsible for any damage or liability associated with improper use of products. May not work on insurance, accountants, or people who are sticklers for spelling.
We'll be selling those downstairs in the lobby after service. Fun. The second thing is this, is we need to ask God to show you your part in the imperfection so that you can change, or that we can change. We always are praying and asking God to change others, but ask God to show you first where you need to grow. What part of the problem might I be with this whole situation? If you look at Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 in the Message Bible, says this, investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong, then guide me on the road to eternal life. Search me and know me, God, and reveal any anxious ways inside of me, the scripture says. The problem, even if we identify our areas of imperfection, we cannot fix them on our own. We need God. We have got to take our lead from the Lord and from his word. If you look at Psalm 32:3, says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. See, the Message Bible says this, when I kept it inside. When we keep problems and we keep things inside, when we try to hide the very things that we're dealing with, that we know are causing external problems in our relationships, it's time to let that out. Because when we do keep silence, our insides begin to waste away. The anxiety literally causes our bones to waste away. It's been medically proven through our groaning all day long. James 5:16 says this, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. This transparency and this openness in sharing with one another, especially in that family setting, can heal things and can really bring some family unity back into your home, looking for peace. The third thing and the last thing this morning is this. Accept God's perfect plan for my imperfect family. Perfect plan for imperfect family. See, he offers a perfect plan for the family because he is not only the perfect God, he's also the perfect father. He is the father that will make up for anything that your father may have lacked as you were growing up or even currently. He is the father that will fill in the gaps. He is the father of unconditional love and acceptance. He is the father filled with faith, speaking into your life and encouraging you to continue to move on and to continue to believe the impossible. This is the Father that we serve. He is the Father who loves us, who is for us and not against us. Amen? He loves us and he has an amazing good plan for our lives. Psalm 18:30 says this, as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. Jesus was asked this question by the Pharisees trying to trick him. He was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And you think about all the different commandments in the Old Testament. There were 613. Sounds like a trick question. And Jesus, in all of his wisdom, Jesus being the representative of the Father in heaven come to earth, to reveal to us who the Father is and to reveal to us the Father's heart for the people. So getting to know Jesus, we actually get to know our Heavenly Father. Because prior to this, the people did not have a good perception of who God was. They only knew what they were told because they each individually did not have the written word of God. They were lied to. They were deceived. They were controlled. But today we have no excuse. We all have more Bibles than we'll ever need. And inside those Bibles, God reveals himself to us. He reveals his goodness. He reveals his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. And he gives us a plan for healing and unity in our families. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? They asked. And Jesus replied this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Basically, put me first. Put God first. Put my word first. Put worship first. Second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. See, in Jesus, when he's answering these questions, he didn't miss a beat. He came right out and he gave us these two commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your thinking, all your emotions, all your inside, your very inner being, as Brandon talked about this morning. That's what your heart is, the real you, and to love your neighbor as yourself. See, God's plan is to love him and to love others. Loving God, loving people. Really, those two commandments, if we focused on those two in our lives and knew nothing else about the other commandments in the Word of God, knew none of the other 10 commandments, knew any other scriptures, if that's the only direction that we ever had or were ever given, we would completely and totally fulfill the perfect will of God for our lives and our families on this earth. We with those two commandments. And the greatest thing is he didn't leave us powerless, is the Spirit of God came to live in us. And the Bible says that the love of God was shed abroad or born in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So the love that we love with is just not a natural love anymore. Thank God for natural love, but in us, he planted in us his supernatural love. So we love on a different level, on a different plane. When Jesus said, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you, you no longer think about that statement. That's ridiculous. Because you know on the inside of you, when you rely upon his love in you, it's possible to love those who hate you. And it's possible to do good to those who have done wrong to you. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 says this, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Build your home on the foundation of the Word of God. And when you hear those words and read those words, put them into practice. Storms will come. If only Dory could find her parents, everything would be fine. In that movie, we could have taught on, she had short-term memory loss, being disabled. So many different things could have taught on. But she persevered because of encouragement from those around her, from friends of those around her. Even though she was annoying, yet we can all admit we're all annoying at times. We all need encouragement. We all can move forward. The thing that we have to understand as believers is this. You cannot control the future of your children, but you can control the foundation. We're not responsible for the 30s, 40s, and 50s of our kids as they get up to that age. See, Proverbs 22:6 says this. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. That's NIV. We know the King James Version says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. You know, I really believe that this is one of the most misunderstood scriptures. See, we think it's a promise, but it's not a promise. It's a principle. These are some of the dumb things that we believe. And because we think it's a promise and because we think our kids aren't serving God, we allow guilt and shame to surround us and become a part of our lives. See, we think that a godly home guarantees godly kids. This is not so. Doesn't guarantee it. No, there is no guarantee. But I would rather build my family on God's word and prayer and church than anything else. You cannot control the future, but you can control the foundation. Parents, grandparents. Parents, you are in charge of your kids' foundation, not the church. The church was placed here to be a supplement to what you're supposed to do with your kids. If you think about the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6 and 7, Moses was instructing the people on what to do and how to raise children. And the wisdom is this. He said, these commands I give you this day are to be on your hearts. Even in the Old Testament, it needs to be part of your inner being. How do you cause the Word of God to be on our kids' hearts or on our own hearts? He said this, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Meaning every day. Church can only be one, maybe 2 days a week. But you're home every day with your kids. Allow the Word of God to be spoken. Allow the Word of God to be read. Allow devotionals to happen. It should permeate our everyday lives, God's Word. And we can guide them to make the right decisions in their lives. We can't control their decisions as they get older, but we can rely upon God and prayer and believe that the foundation that we've laid in them will someday cause them to rise up and to serve God with all their hearts. Because they have to make their own decisions. We can't make it for them. Amen? It can be difficult at times to let them go. It can be difficult at times. But raising children in the house of God, raising our grandkids in the house of God, it takes commitment. Our flesh screams on Sunday morning, I'm tired, I want to sleep in. I don't want to go to church. But we need to know that that commitment and what's important to us becomes important to them. What we give money towards, whether that be the church or a missions organization, will eventually become important to them because they see us investing our time, our money, our talent, our energy, and our passion into building God's kingdom, into the house of God that he's placed us in. Amen? It takes commitment. It takes work. It takes consistency. It is definitely a challenge. So my question this morning is, whose plan for the family are you going to follow? We've got to be willing to follow his plan. Our memory verse today is found in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15 as we close this morning. Famous statement of Joshua, as we take it as our own. Prior to it, he said, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Make a decision whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living, or the gods of the American culture, the gods of success without Jesus, the gods of money and prestige, the gods of pretending everything is okay in our families and having no transparency, when all of a sudden, when you don't deal with the things you're supposed to deal with, it all blows up in your face anyway. Serving those kind of gods will cause disappointment. But as for me and my household, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. I want to let you know it's not too late. If you haven't previously done so with your kids, it's not too late. Because God's word is powerful. It's penetrating. It's life-changing. The word of God does not return void, but it will accomplish what it's sent out to do. By meditation and by prayer, we seek the Lord and we ask the Lord for his grace and his mercy on our lives and on our kids, on our grandkids. And as we continue to purpose to lay the foundation of God's word, of worship, of prayer, and of commitment and faithfulness to him and his house that he's placed us in. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And as Dory said, just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just gotta keep swimming. Sometimes you gotta swim opposite the current, especially the current of current culture. In order to serve the Lord, it can be difficult, but it will not go unrewarded. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for creative companies like Disney. They didn't even know they were making a Jesus film. But we thank you, Lord, for these natural things that teach us spiritual things as Jesus did so masterfully. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy upon our children, our grandchildren, our family members, our marriages. We make commitment to you this morning that we will serve you with all of our hearts. Love you first with our minds and with our strengths, with our hearts, and then love people as you love people. Teach us, God, to love one another as you love. Teach us to tap into that love that you've placed in us, your supernatural love that was shed abroad and born into our hearts when we were born again. Help us to love our neighbors. Help us to love our enemies. Help us to perform the action of love and not fall out of that passionate action towards one another. That sacrifice, that giving, that listening ear. I pray, Lord, for transparency. Transparency in our families. Transparency in marriages. Transparency here in our teams in the church. That as we do share our weaknesses, and as we do talk about the things that are bothering us, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we don't judge one another, that we are excited. We're excited to see transparency because through that, healing comes, bones are mended, and solutions can be had by you, God. So we take everything that you have for us. We thank you, Lord, that the guilt of our children not serving God, it's not our responsibility. And we shake it off this morning. We don't say shame on you, we say shame off you. We thank you, Lord, for the foundation that's been laid. And we thank you, Lord, that our children will one day serve the Lord. We declare it by faith. We'll love you. We'll find a church for their families to serve you and to worship you in. A healthy, thriving, amazing body of believers that are transparent, encouraging, and uplifting. I thank you that in this church there's no judgment. That, Lord, you've created us all uniquely and individually with different talents and gifts. And we thank you and we celebrate that. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, let's all stand up. Say this after me. My zeal for the house consumes me. Say, my zeal for my personal house consumes me. I speak peace, reconciliation in all my relationships with my spouse, my children, my grandchildren, my grandparents, aunts and uncles, cousins. I thank you for unity in my whole family. No judgments, peace, and healing, and freedom. Is it possible, folks? With God, all things are possible. When we try to fix it ourselves without him and without his power and his love, it's not possible. It just gets worse. Trusting in him, giving it over to him, not trying to control the situation, because whatever you try to keep, you'll eventually lose. Sometimes you just got to let go and let God. It's the truth. God, I trust you, as hard as it is. I love you, and I'm trusting you that they will serve God all the days of their lives. I speak it by faith in Jesus' name. Like a Holy Spirit boom here, you know, it's like shoo.
I saw that movie yesterday for the first time, and there was such a beautiful picture of the church, of family. At the end, you know, Dory was swept away by a current. I mean, the current of our time sweeps sometimes our children, our loved ones away from God and the house of God, and the parents all their life, what they told that Dory when she was little is like, follow the shells and they will lead you home, because she had such memory loss. They tried to put those things in her mind. If you follow the shells, that leads to our home back. And so they spent all their life, while their daughter Dory was out trying to find them or not knowing what she was all about, and they laid those shells. And if this is the family or this is the house of God, right, they laid shells in all different directions from everywhere. They spent that time and that heart to make sure that children, their daughter, could come home one day. And when they would see that shell, or when they see a kind act from somebody, it would remind them that they once have received from God. And it will bring them those little breadcrumbs, right? Those little shells would bring them back to the house, back to the family. If that's the house of God or your personal family, God is all about that. in His Word, in His love, with longing arms. You know, it says in the Song of Solomon that even in our weakness, He sees us lovely. That's how He looks at us. Even in our weaknesses, even with our stuff, He thinks and He sees us as lovely, as desirable. And He's out there. And we as a church, we can be out there and inviting people in, saying, hey, God's presence is amazing. There is healing. There is restoration. There's hope. And we get to stand for that as City Park Church, and you are part of that. So let's lay out shells for others to come and find God. And let's lay out shells for our own family members to come on home. So we bless you with that.
That was pretty profound at the end of the movie, is the shells. Your parents never moved from where they were living in hopes that someday she would find again where her home was. It's pretty amazing. Family survival kits are for sale downstairs. Turn to someone, greet them, love on them this morning. We love you. Have a great week in Gresham, wherever you live. Thank you for coming to City Park Church.